Father God, we just come before you this morning knowing there is power in prayer. Father God, we just underestimate what you can do if your people pray. Father God, we just thank you that the Spirit of God has just descended upon this place this morning. And Father God, I just pray that whatever you have planned for this morning is what is going to happen. Father God, we just pray that you would have control from the beginning to the end. And as I did, I was praying this morning at 5, and Father God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would fall upon this place. And that nobody's agenda would be here except your agenda. And Father God, although I've prepared something, I'm just going to go with what you show me as I go. And Father God, I just thank you that you are ever present. And if we didn't do anything more but sat here in your presence right now, we would know that it would be enough because we have met with you this morning. And Father God, I just pray that we would continue to meet with you in the next few minutes. I ask this in Jesus' name. Although I've prepared a sermon, I'm not sure it's going to be any use to me, but God has just been downloading stuff. And first of all, I want to say that I am so grateful for Pastor Corey. If God gives you a vision, he allows you to allow the Lord to lead you in that way. And if God has given you gifts,
and you would make it known to the church, he allows you to walk in those gifts. And a few years back, one of the things that was asked is what were our giftings? I did say to Pastor Corey, I like to preach about two or three times a year. And all the things I had told him that I believed that God had shown me that was some gifting, he has allowed me in this church to do that. And when I shared a few weeks ago this vision that God had given me on prayer, he said, go for it. And I thank you. And I have some stuff prepared, but I tell you, I cried through this sermon. And God was just showing me things of his faithfulness and how prayer had answered. He had answered my prayer. And some of those things I will share with you this morning. But the purpose of prayer is for us to know God's will and then to make God's will our prayer. And that is what I'm going to preach on today is prayer, the power of prayer, the purpose of prayer. But some of it will be just example testimony. Some of it will be my testimony of how God did stuff in my life and how Grant and I have come through some stuff. And sometimes the biggest message is a personal testimony that says, how faithful was God? How did God answer prayer in that area? Even if it was not the way we would have wanted it, how God was still there. And we've been studying in what we actually did a study of not a fan, but a follower a few months back. And at that time when we finished, I said to Linda, you know, wouldn't it be good if God just told you your calling and just said, Zap, that's what it is. Well, 5 months later, I'm starting to get an idea what his calling was. So, and I think of Eric in there. It didn't just happen in that study. He didn't just all of a sudden get a big brainwave and decide he was going to sell his house. He had to be in God's word and prayer. And I was reading this morning how it says God's word is not only to penetrate, but it's to activate. And I think that I'm coming here to tell you guys that we need to start activating some of the visions that God is giving us. A few months ago in November, I think about that time, we were having a little bit of struggle with the prayer ministry in this church. And actually, to tell you the truth, I went home and I was quite frustrated. This church has been built on prayer. And I went home and I thought, I am going to check out your word, God, what it says on prayer, because I know Jesus did it. And if Jesus needed to do it, how much more the rest of us have to do it? And that began the journey. And God, I knew some about prayer, but God started showing me the other things. He started downloading stuff. And when I was in Palm Springs, God had downloaded stuff. And I said to Annette, I would like to do a teaching on prayer, but I'm going to let the leadership guess I'm going to wait till they ask me. And then Shanda, she gave us a little blurb that God said, you know, if you have something like activated, something to that effect. And God said, well, how righteous are you to sit there and think that the leadership's going to guess what God has been downloading on me? So I proceeded to get up that day and say to Pastor Corey, hey, God's given me a vision on prayer. Anyway, one of the things that God has been telling me over the last few months is that you have not because you ask not. Now, I thought that was pretty biblical till I started looking for those words and I couldn't find them. But we are doing a study in James. And if you want to go to James 1, 2 to 8, there is some things there that says not in those exact words, but pretty close. So if you're doing the study of James, and those of you who are memorizing James probably already have that part memorized, right? Anyway, that's an inside joke for the women. Okay, so James 1, verses 2 to 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man shall not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And that's the first thing God showed me, one of the first things. He says, if we lack confidence that God's going to answer the prayer, we're not going to be disappointed. We will not get an answer to prayer if we think he's not going to answer. Gee, that was pretty simple. Now, if you read it in the New Living Testament, in James 1:6, it says, when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person who has a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. But you have to have faith in God alone. And I thought that was a really good thing. Prayer, you have to trust God can do it. And we're reminded of that in the three Hebrew young men in Daniel 3:15-18, where they went before the king Nebuchadnezzar. We talked about King Nebuchadnezzar not long ago. And when these three men went before him and said, O king, even if you throw us in the fiery furnace, our God is able to save us. And even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to you, your majesty. And I tell you, this is where I'm going to share some testimony, that God is able. And even if we don't think he is able, he still is. And we're not going to bow down to anything. I'm going to share this testimony about how God answered prayer in my life about 25 years ago. I was trying to think about this, and some of it is, that's probably why I cried. I thought about some of these things, and, a lot of my quiet time is on the back of a tractor at from 5 to 7 every morning, feeding cattle, and that's a blessing because God allows me that time. I only have to watch a scale. And if Grant isn't in the cab with me, I'm quite okay. But if he is in the cab with me, doesn't think I know how to run the silage wagon, but I do. So, anyway, having said that, I spent lots of time praying, and God reminded me of this. 25 years ago, approximately, I had an accident that by rights should have taken my life. And I was trying to think who the people were that prayed in this church. Well, anyway, I was sitting on the back of I wasn't sitting on the back end gate when it first, but all the staples fell on the road. So we picked them up, and I said to Grant, I'm just sit on the back end gate, because we only had a little distance to go, and so these won't fall out. Well, they started sliding out, and I wasn't smart enough to jump out, or I knew Grant would be angry if the staples fell again. So I didn't jump out, but I fell out. And that's what I remember. I don't remember them bringing me to the hospital. I don't remember much, but there are things that I remember. I remember they would ask me who this person was. And I didn't know. And Dad remembers. I remembered them moving me to the city. And Grant standing beside my bed crying, saying goodbye. although I kept phasing in and out, my hearing hadn't gone. And when the ambulance took off to go to the city and I could have no medication because I had a head injury, Grant phoned Mom and Dad and said they were moving me to the city. And Dad said to activate the prayer chain. And some of you people prayed. And as I was going, I would phase in and out. But my hearing was not, and I want to tell you guys, if people are unconscious, do not discount that they can hear. And God, and I kept hearing the nurse say, we're losing her. And I kept hearing the ambulance people talking to the hospital saying, if you can't make it, we'll get the plane to stop on the highway and take you. And when I hit Camrose, I feel quite privileged. Actually, I had a full police escort into the university hospital. Now, I don't think many of you guys could say that, but I did. I lost my sense of smell, and so I've lost my sense of taste. But for a while, we breathe in and out many times in a day, but we never think. Breathe in, breathe out. But that was what it was like. And the next morning, I was laying in the hospital bed. I could still see it, and God reminded me. And the presence of God, I just know that it was Jesus standing by my bed. And he said, I saved you. And it wasn't that a salvation, but he had saved my life. Did that mean I would have no more pain? Did it mean that? No. It meant that the people were praying. And that's why prayer is so precious to me. Because he saved me. Because I don't know if any of you guys were here. Barry and Darlene were here at that time, and Mom and Dad. Because people were faithful to pray. And when we were in Thailand a few years ago, I think it's 7 or 8 years now, and I said, I was telling Joyce Williams and Darlene, and I said, you know what? I started reminiscing about this, and I said, that's why prayer is so important. That's why prayer is so important. And we still had to go through a lot of things, depression and all of those things. God saved me that day. But a few years later, when we lost the farm, God didn't save the farm. But he was still able to. And he said at that time, let it go. Do you think that was a hard thing? Absolutely. And I tell you, I can say to this day, I remember the day that the guy said, Grant, you got to sell some land. I want to tell you, farmers don't sell land. They buy it. I thought he was going to crawl over the table and kill the guy. And we came home. And God started saying, you can't serve debt. And God, too. You've got to let it go. And this day, Grant and I, could say that was the biggest blessing God ever did. Was it at that day? Absolutely not. It was the hardest thing we ever had to do. And by the time the neighbors knew, the crying was finished. I remember when I was in London, Ontario, and I got a phone call, and our daughter said, I have cancer. And God said, it's these words he dropped. He said, my beloved is mine and I am his. And we still had to go through surgery, and she only has one child and because of this. But you know what? God was able and he answered prayer. And I want to encourage you today that you might be going through something that just seems like there's just no hope. Why isn't God healing my daughter-in-law who's sick and's got six children? I don't know, but he's able to. And even if he doesn't, I will not bow down to you. It's not Nebuchadnezzar, but the evil one. So because it's a communication and we just don't say, give me, we need to know that God wants you to have good things. He does. Some of these things, you know, they did turn out to the good, but it doesn't always. So the way to know God's will, and that's what we need to know God's will for our lives so that through these times we can draw on that. And so one of the things is you need to know God's word. If you don't know God's word, you will only know God's will for your life if you know God's word. You have not because you ask not. Well, what are we going to ask for? What are we going to ask for? Well, if it isn't God's will, why would he give it to you? He wants good things for you. And so we need to start doing what works for us. And that's when I spent lots of time in the Word studying about prayer, he started showing me, this was my plea out of Ephesians, I think 4:1. And it says, what's your calling on my life, Lord? Is that it? Okay. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. And so when I went to the Lord, and I think everybody should do this because he's got different places for you. You know, Pastor Corey was sharing last week that he doesn't like plans. And mostly I agree with him. Mostly. It can become a chore. It can become a ritual. But sometimes, for me, what works is if I say prayer, what does God's word say about prayer? And I do a study of it, I start to understand the heart of God. And we were fortunate to be able to go away on a little holiday this winter, and we went to Palm Springs. And we went to a church in Palm Springs, and you know, everybody in January, most churches fast and pray to know what God's will is for you, for your church, or for you for the year. And so this pastor Sorensen says, ask God for what you want. And I'm not saying a Cadillac, because it might be nice, and maybe he wants you to have that, but it has to be in line with Scripture. If I ask God, which I did for 4 or 5 months, and all of a sudden he said, I'm calling you to prayer, and all of a sudden he gives me a vision for prayer. It's not all of a sudden. It's been 5 months, my goodness. You know, but he gives me a vision for prayer, and I can sit with the vision for prayer and say, I've got it, or I can say that the word of God is not only to penetrate, but it is to activate. And I can start activated, and I can say to the leadership here, because I sat through a prayer meeting after prayer meeting where I heard defeat. I heard some of the leadership said, we need direction. So I took the word of God and said, we need direction, God, for our prayer ministry. We need direction. We've been walloped. Our prayer coordinator and their family has just been beaten, and they need time to regroup. We need to pray for them. And God is saying then it is a season that I need to raise somebody else up to take my mantle and to go forward. Now, I thought that I should just wait till the leadership asked me. But God used Shanda that morning to stand up and say, come on, get rid of that, guys. And God is saying in your life, if he's showing you a vision, I suggest you pass it by the leadership. I'm not saying fly here and there, because that is certainly not of God. But I'm saying if you have a vision, step forward into the vision, ask your leadership or your spiritual leaders, is this of God? And if it is, then go with it. And if our church does that in all areas of the church, you will not believe it. God is going to show up every time we meet. When they come in Ethiopia to have a meeting, they pray for 2 hours and then they have a meeting. Why do you think it's powerful? Why do you think that little guy in a hut that sits there for 3 or 4 months prays and all of a sudden the whole village turns to Jesus? The witch doctor, I don't know what happens to him, but something happens to him. Because God is more powerful. And when we ask, God will give it to us if we know God's word. And I believe that God's word is for every one of us to see our sons and daughters serving him. And I think that if, and that's where cell group prayer has been birthed. It is an answer to our seniors who live far away and can't travel. It's an answer to our young moms and them that can bring their kids. It's an answer. Is it a season? Could be. But I don't think that praying is ever out of season. And I think that we are all called to pray. Some are called to intercession. But we don't know God's will. And that's his purpose, for us to know his will and then to pray it. And you will be amazed when you start standing before the Lord and say, I want to know what my calling is. Pastor Corey, his calling is a preacher evangelist. But he might call another one into the marketplace. And that's equally as important. It doesn't matter. Wherever God calls you, you can go. And I'm just advocating for that. Another thing God is saying is we need to learn how to pray. Some are relatively new Christians, and they say, yeah, we come, and the pastor says, pray, and we don't have a clue how to do it. So that's where your cell groups are going to come in. And by the way, Deanna is meeting Monday, tomorrow. She couldn't be here, in Wainwright at Barry and Darlene. So if you're going there, she's contacted her people. And she assures me she's starting at 7. How exciting is that? She says, tell the people I'm starting at 7. I said, praise you. Anyway, she got to spend the weekend with her daughter. So that, and we will, you know, we're going to use the model that Jesus used. You know, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. These men had been with Jesus. Now, don't you think they should have known? They were Jewish men they have all these ceremonies that they do, right? And as we heard maybe a couple of months ago, these Jewish men knew the word of God, at least the first 5 books. So they knew a lot about Jesus, and they knew, or not maybe Jesus, but they knew a lot about the Bible. And we're going to, Nehemiah was another one. We've got Old Testament, New Testament. Pray. The Psalms are just great places to go. And we just encourage you to come to one of the cells if you can. And you want to know, like Deanna was saying to me, I was so excited when I talked to Deanna. She's caught this vision, and she says, you know something? When my mom comes home, she might want to take the Wainwright one, and maybe we can start one in Edgerton. And I says, praise you, Jesus, because the vision is starting to, it's God. It's God. And that's what, you know, when God gives you a vision for a church, he's going to bring people alongside. So where two or three are gathered, we are going to pray. So if you're two, we're going to pray. That's what our mandate. So I'm just going to, you know, I don't want to make this really long. This is just some thoughts I've got or I've picked up. Those devoted to prayer do things by prayer. They begin with prayer, not tacking it on as an afterthought after decisions are made. When faced with a challenge, the first thing they do is go to prayer, not action. Those devoted to prayer give priority to prayer and are never too busy to pray. Our level of Christian commitment is gauged by the character of our prayer life. And I want you, you know, some of you are praying on your way to work or coming home or wherever you have to make the opportunities. And like I say, I sit in the tractor. It works for me. Might not work for you, but it works for me. Probably wouldn't work for anybody but Ellen, because nobody here, I don't think, drives. Oh, Kevin, might work for Kevin in the tractor too. But, you know, so God is saying that just make the opportunity, do what works for you. Don't feel condemnation if you're not being able to go to cells. Doesn't mean you're not a prayer. Just means you can't go to cell. Because I was hearing a little bit of that, and I thought, nuh-uh, that God doesn't want that. He just wants you to pray. Two or three, great. We do that as our family. We pray if we've got something happening in our family, we just get together. The most important Christians are not the ones who preach great sermons or write great books, but the ones who pray and pray and pray some more, sharing the quiet but effective victory of Jesus over what defaces God's creation. And I want you to know, and I'm going to close with this, prayer is not a special gift for a select few. It isn't. All who have trusted Jesus for salvation can pray as he thought. True prayer will not be achieved by human effort. It is a gift of God. Prayer is grace. If we are followers of Christ and we want to learn to pray, he stands ready to teach us. Praise you, Jesus. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. And then I'll turn it on to Pastor Corey. Father God, we just thank you that you give us the opportunity to pray. But that you are willing to teach us. And Father God, I just pray that these people would be people of the word and prayer. And I just pray that your spirit, your Holy Spirit, will just open up the door for wisdom and revelation of who you are, of what you can do through prayer, of how you can move in a community or a region, how we as prayers can just come before you and change the whole face of our community by trusting you and you alone. And so, God, I just come before you this morning and say, continue to give us a vision for you through prayer. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You hold my